Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 12, for October 24th, 2006. Smokin'. Well, I don't know how we can top last week, but we're going to try. It's time for MacBreak Weekly. And sitting in for the beautiful, the talented, the brilliant, the ever so lovely Emmer MacArthur, Alex Lindsay.
What a setup. Oh, man.
I guess we can live with that.
Okay, here I am. I'm wearing a dress.
Where were you last week? Were you in Detroit again?
I was in, where was I last week? Oh, I was in L.A. I speak at every month at the Motion Graphics L.A., so I was speaking there.
Scott Bourne is also here. Actually, Scott and Merlin are down in town visiting.
We're all together here. We're in the Pixelcore offices here, and we're all sitting around the table. And we do have a picture of you, Leo.
Okay, that's good.
Your MySpace being
Leo, I'm sitting right next to where you would be sitting if you were here.
Yeah, I will never be there. It's just so you know. Don't get your hopes up. Scott Bourne is iLifeZone.com.
Someday that's going to be on twit.tv.
Oh, I'm sorry, I haven't gotten around to doing that. I will do that. Any minute now.
If it's not one thing, it's another.
Oh, yeah. There's just a million things. You know, I need a punch list like a contractor, and I can just ignore them like a contractor. In fact, if I were a contractor, I'd be in the Bahamas right now.
Yeah. You've had a few challenges, though, so we understand.
Yeah, that's
life. We understand.
Also, of course, with the podcasting tricks.com and aperturetricks.com and a voice for hire.
That's me.
That's me. And,
that's me, Scott.
And from 43folders.com and fives.com, it's Merlin Mann, soon to be host of his own fabulous television show on the Twit Network.
You're kidding.
I think so. I've been told that.
I'm gonna be on it?
Was I misinformed? Like Humphrey Bogart? I was misinformed. I came here for the waters.
It's awesome. I've always wanted a TV show. This is great.
Oh, good.
How's it going, Leo?
You've just been nominated.
All I can say, Leo, is wakarimasen gomen nasai.
Desuka wakarimashita anjin-san.
Ie doitaishimashita.
Okay. Let's.
Did he just ask you not to touch his mustache?
He did. He said, don't touch the stash, baby. Big stories. Actually, quite a few big stories. The big one that broke today, Apple slipstreams an update to the MacBook Pro Core 2 Duo. The Merrim is in the Macum.
With up to 39% speed increase.
Asterisk, your mileage may vary.
Yeah, exactly. The mileage may vary, I usually find, is the most important part of that.
It is a much faster chip. I mean, Core 2 is a faster chip too. Core Duo is a faster chip, but Core 2 is supposed to be much faster.
I have to admit, the thing I'm most excited about is an 800 port. You know, it's been a real pain in the neck for me to only have a 400 port in the MacBook Pro that I have.
Do you
now.
Use 800 stuff?
I have a whole bunch of portable 800 drives.
So you're the one who bought that stuff, huh?
I was the one who bought that stuff.
Because nobody else. Does anybody else use it? You use it, Scott?
I got a ton of 800 FireWire hard drives. They're faster.
They're faster.
They are?
When you're moving big files,
are they really faster?
Yeah, they really are.
Yes,
faster.
Leo, see, there's the 400 FireWire.
No, yeah, you can say that, but those are specs. But that's meaningless.
They're definitely faster.
You can test the throughput. It's definitely faster. So I'm glad about that. I'm also glad about the memory bump, because you could only get up to 2 gigs in the old MacBook Pro. Now you can go to 3. And what I found very interesting was that the baseline configuration with these new machines is 2 gigabytes.
It's 2? Oh, wow.
Yeah. 2 gigabytes. That's the way it comes.
You really do need it, though.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, I'm on a MacBook Pro that one of these not 39% faster ones. And, you know, I feel like I'm really pushing a lot of it. Well, I mean, of course, I still have that keychain problem from like last April.
Oh, we'll fix that. We got to just you know what you do with a keychain? You throw it out, and then you just start over.
Yeah, but I've got some
stuff,
stuff
in there
from
you can't,
like, yeah, I got stuff in there from like the late 70s I don't want to get rid of. But no, this is, I think this, I mean, so the 800 though, the 800 FireWire, do you use that like for pulling down video? Like what's...
I just have a lot of, when I had my last laptop, I have a bunch of 800 portable drives. So, you know, they're bus power, these little ones you can put in your pocket. Mm-hmm. And so I just have a bunch of these drives that are all 800s. I don't want to get rid of them. And the thing is that, and they...
Well, you don't have to get rid of them. You could use it with a 400 port and an adapter, right?
Yeah, but you just, suddenly I have to make sure I have all, what you have to have is I have to have these, because they don't have, the little portables only have 800 connections. And so I need to make sure I have my special little cord that's 400 on one side and 800 on the other. And, you know, I can't just grab any 800 cord. You know, we're a wash of 800 cord, you know, cabling here. So all it's easy because all of our drives were 800 because they're a lot faster, you know. And so it's, I do admit that the 800 in the past has been buggy. So there have been times when drives don't show up and everything else. And so the 400 was good. It's just that it was nice to have both of them.
You know, it's kind of cool on this is it's fine. Is it the same video card as the old one?
It's the ATI Mobility Radeon 1600.
Is that the same as in the last MacBook Pro?
That was the same one that was in certain models of the original.
So it's what the high-end MacBook Pro would be.
Right. Mm-hmm. I bought one of these today, a 17-inch Leo. And
you did with already?
Yeah. Oh, you know me. I can't help myself. I just got the 100-gig ATA drive, though, because I like the 7,200 RPM speed.
You're going to put a faster one in.
I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to connect to my other stuff.
Oh, an external drive. Yeah.
Yeah. And but
it's,
you know,
nice because it drives the 30-inch display.
It does, but the thing is that with tax, I'm over $4,000.
Oh,
whoa!
Right,
because I got everything you could get, so it's over $4,000 with AppleCare and the whole nine yards. But
wait a minute, you really buy that AppleCare?
Oh, every single time.
Everybody,
I never, you do too? Ever lose money. I never lose money on my AppleCare.
If you call Apple without AppleCare, let me tell you, you will understand exactly what it's like to be a left-handed, redheaded stepchild.
Yeah.
Help.
Well, my thing is that I will admit that I travel a lot and I'm a little rough with my equipment. And,
but if you break the screen, you can't just say, oh, look, the screen broke. We need a new one.
If you break the screen, but I'll tell you, I get those little white things on my screens, you know,
they'll
fairly
replace
often.
That.
They'll just swap that right out.
And they won't, you know, do it under the warranty?
If it's in the first year, but this is it usually occurs 2 years, 2.5 years in. You got all these things with your screen isn't right.
How about you, Merlin? Do you buy that AppleCare?
I've never bought AppleCare.
Me neither.
But now that you guys have said it, I know.
No, I never buy it. That's a big profit. It's a profit center for them. I don't buy it. I insure myself.
Not with me.
One trip to the repair shop will pay for the AppleCare.
Yeah.
And what I find is that every time I've bought it, and I've bought it on almost every Mac I've ever gotten, it's paid for itself.
The smart thing to do, though, would be to wait a year and buy it on the last day of the first year, right? Because it's the same. It's just extending that warranty.
You can buy it at any point. You buy it at any point after.
Right. You can buy it at any point. But I will tell you this. Even if you're within the warranty period and you call Apple for help, they start immediately asking if you got AppleCare. And if you don't, you get to go on the line that's like 7 hours long looking for help. If you got AppleCare, they'll just take care of you. And you can take your back MacBook Pro in, drop it off. And you know what happens every time? They just give you like a new one.
Right.
Yeah, it's amazing. So you end up with basically a new computer.
I've never used it, and I don't intend to use it.
Leo, I'll buy it for you.
I will say that I never use anybody else's. Like if I go to CompUSA, I never buy into any of that stuff. The only one that I buy with my stuff.
You guys are a bunch of Apple sycophants.
No, you know, as I said, I'm not even sure if this is a compliment to Apple, the fact that I break their computers often enough that AppleCare is worth it.
I'm just lucky, but I've never broken. I've never had to bring one in. The only times I've had, my daughter and my wife were fighting over her iBook, and it somehow magically flew across the room, and the screen broke, but AppleCare wouldn't have protected it, wouldn't have done anything about that.
It depends on how good a lie you could have come up with.
Oh, I don't. That's not.
No,
manufacture. The screen just busted.
I've never had a laptop survive 3 years without me having to have a major.
Well, me neither. Like, but I just get rid of them. Oh yeah,
he's
really
like Cory Doctorow. Well,
Cory goes through like one a week.
Well, you know he does. It's really funny. He buys them by the pair.
12 packs.
Yeah, no, he buys them by the pair.
Well, he does, and doesn't he like rsync two at the same time?
So I actually have been considering. It's so funny that you just said that. I've been actually thinking about. You know, I should rsync two of them together. I should buy two at the same time.
So how much? How much?
One more project like that.
How much, Scott, was the AppleCare on that $4,000 notebook?
It's like $300. It's always it's the same. I mean, you know, it's less than 10% of the computer. And
well, it
I
is have when you configure it that way.
Yeah. Well, for me, it just doesn't seem to make sense to say, you know, be pound.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what.
And pound foolish.
This would be good. I tell you what. I will buy right after we get off the air. I'll buy a new one too, and I won't buy AppleCare.
You're going to buy one of the new MacBook Pros?
Well, just for the experiment, yeah.
No, this is awesome because that means the day after the price will go down.
You know, that's a lie. That's a lie. Just because I bought a cube the day it was discontinued, that's a lie. Everybody thinks I do that. And then what? And then 3 years from now, let's you and I get together and compare notes.
Okay, first of all, I won't have this computer 3 years because the next time they upgrade one, I'll come out and buy that one.
Well,
too.
That's my point.
But I'll have peace of mind, and you can transfer the AppleCare, which gives you better resale.
Oh, that's
value.
Interesting. Do you ever sell your computers?
I do.
Oh, all right. Well, then that'd be worthwhile.
I don't.
I sell them on eBay.
Oh, that's all right. Well, that's worthwhile.
And break yours before you can sell them.
No, I literally have my one person in the company has one of my laptops. Of the last four laptops I've owned, I have an old black one that is my key. It's basically the front end for my iTunes. It's all Wall Street that just does. It's just my jukebox. So it's sitting on 80 gigs of music and it just jukeboxes away.
It weighs as much as a toddler.
Well, yeah, but it's not on my desk. And then I have another one that
small
just manages all my drives.
Well,
I have
like a, you know,
I have a G4 on remote desktop that sits on all my drives. So while I'm traveling, I can always use remote desktop to get back to look through any drive and FTP stuff from my computer up. And then I have my,
and you can get happy days on it. Which is nice.
I can. That's very good. And then I have my MacBook Pro.
I don't understand a word he just said, but I'm sure
our
it was something
project.
Very exciting.
I like to use. It's all about remote desktop when you're traveling. I've done it in India, which was
really you use remote desktop. Huh.
I use it all the time.
Is awesome.
Alutha here in the office. He set up my laptop. Got through all the firewall stuff. Alutha and Ben, and they got it all sorted out. And so now I can see. You know, I can log into from my MacBook Pro anywhere I'm traveling, anywhere in the world. I can log in and look at my screen. Actually, look at it. Check old emails that I need to look through to find stuff. Grab stuff from old hard drives that are all. So I have like four drives.
I've seen you do that actually in Toronto. So I do buy that.
It's very, very, very useful.
I'm using it to control my old 17-inch, which is my media computer now.
Right.
So I can keep the lid closed with Insomniac and just use that as a media computer with remote desktop.
It's really, I just love remote desktop.
I tell you, I wish they'd hurry up with this ITV because I knew we needed ITV when my wife and I were sitting on the couch kind of with our backs twisted just a little bit, trying to watch Studio 60 on my MacBook. And then I had hooked it up to the speakers, but the cable didn't quite reach. So the sound's coming over from kind of toward back of us to the left. The screen is small, and we can't quite see it. It's just terrible.
Yeah,
I'm
asking my wife to watch a movie with me on the computer. I might as well ask her to an evening of playing D&D.
I thought it's it would just, be
she
togetherness.
She refuses to watch. She refuses to watch anything on.
Which
a computer.
Which is funny because we don't have a TV. We watch everything on a laptop.
I'd hold it in my lap. She didn't have to hold it in hers.
It's depressing.
Oh,
it is kind of depressing. I need an ITV.
We have these big windows that outlook over all of the bay, you know, from our apartment. And then you have this little couch that sits right in front of it. And then we just take our little laptop and we sit it down on our legs and we watch Lost.
And you're okay with that?
Oh, it's I can't even imagine any other.
Not by the same token, when we're on a flight, it is kind of fun and to like watch an iPod video.
Do you do the Steve Jobs maneuver where you take the headphone and you stick one in her ear and one in your ear?
In her ear?
You know, we actually just use the speakers in the computer. We don't actually use the headphone.
It's not loud enough.
Yeah. It is for us, and we sit there because my wife was one of those people that asks you lots of questions during the show.
Like, so
why is
what
he
did
doing
he just
that?
Say?
What happened there?
What did he just say? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't see really what's going on. What? Can you tilt the screen a little forward? What did he just say? That kind
of
question.
Why is Saeed still on the boat?
Why?
Yeah, exactly.
Why is my back
hurt?
Where
is Jin?
Well, see, that's why I use noise canceling headphones, so that when my wife's asking questions, I can go point to my ears and shake my head like, "Sorry, I can't hear you."
Can't hear a thing.
Yeah,
you're
it
saying.
Works good.
Mm-mm. Nope.
This was a horrifying moment when I realized my wife was the kind of person that was going to ask a question like pretty much every 5 seconds during a movie.
Well, the thing is, I actually enjoy it. I actually enjoy the experience while I'm when we're actually at the house. So it's kind of a fun thing because it makes the show more interactive. But when I'm in the theater, I'm a little more.
Are you excited about the fact that they now have a MagSafe airline adapter?
I'm extremely excited about that. I spent a week trying to find some kind of gray market, somebody else.
So nobody else makes one.
Nobody else makes one.
It hasn't been available.
Yeah, it has been
at $60,
and I'll pay every penny of it.
$60 to have like 3 or 4 hours of like.
Well, the thing is for me, it doesn't even. I have three batteries for my laptop.
You on board.
Yeah,
except when he flies Virgin.
Well, he flies to Africa. It's not exactly a 12-minute flight.
Yeah, but yeah. I would check batteries. What? But
no, because I need them for the flight.
He needs them. He actually goes through them.
I go.
Do they still allow books in Africa? Could you take that in? Or
yeah, it's all. Shut up. So I have three batteries. But when you're doing like 5 or 6 hour flights, and when you're doing text and stuff like that, it's fine. But when you start doing like 3D computer graphics and stuff like that, it will. It chews up that you got about an hour and a half.
So pop quiz. What are the two or three best airlines for being able to get a seat? Where do you see Guru to find the seats that have them?
Yeah, the best airline.
Wait, don't you have to fly business or first to get?
No, best airline domestically.
Seat Guru will help you tease out the ones.
Best airline domestically is U.S. Airways, not America West.
That's because you
US
fly Airways. To Pittsburgh.
So but all the U.S. Airway flights, all of them, even through economy, have power.
Really?
And then when you're flying overseas, the cool thing about Singapore Airlines is that. Even in executive economy, they have plugs, regular 3-prong plugs, but you can't use your 85-watt
plug. That's right.
You have to use
That's
65
what you need with this one. This has an 85-watt power.
Have you gotten that? Hey, have you done that Air Canada flight, Leo, where you get the 3-prong under the chair and you get the USB port on
the
seat in
front
of you?
There's one plane in their entire fleet, and it has little TVs in the back, so you don't even need your laptop.
It's got a touch screen. I felt like I was living in the Jetsons.
Yeah,
it's got a touch screen TV.
You got that on the way home or the way up?
On the way home from Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, I got that once.
Virgin's the best movie airline.
But for the kids out there who want to make use of this, you say US Air is a good one.
And
US Air is
Guru.
Seat Guru is awesome. You can go find it in Seat Guru.
The thing is,
but
Seat
US
Guru
Airways
got too popular, and now it's really hard to find a good seat on a plane.
Well, I think everybody figured out how to. It also frustrated me because everyone figured out how to get the exit row seats, which for a long time
I just
was
love
the,
where they're like, okay, and be careful because it's in this section here, it gets a little narrower. I mean, at least that alone is helpful.
I got the one seat that gets where it gets narrower. There's like one in a 747 out of in Virgin. There's one seat that is
Kate Moss
3 inches. It's 3 inches thinner, and I got I'm big boned.
Yeah,
it was. A very
I feel like such an inadequate frequent flyer. I never do that. I just take what they give me and I stay quiet and put my head between my legs and hope I'll get there.
Oh man, I throw all. Carlita got to witness my last tantrum. They, you know, because
I heard about that. They actually have your picture.
Put me in the middle seat.
At the Air Canada,
I sit in the aisle. I sit in the aisle,
so
and
do
I get
not
my ticket in the
give
aisle.
This man any.
They
attention.
Start moving me around.
So credit where credit's due. The German Mac Gadget blog actually called this one a week ago. They said the Core 2 would come out on the MacBook Pro. They said FireWire 800. Bigger hard drives. I don't know how they knew. Faster graphics card, faster DVD burners. They called it down to the absolute detail.
Germans.
Germans. So when was the announcement? Was it today that they slipped this out?
I saw it on, was it Gizmodo? I got up really early this morning. So I think it was last night.
I think it broke at about midnight.
Yeah, it was the midnight press release.
And you ordered it when, Scott?
I ordered mine at about
12:01.
10 a.m. 10 a.m.
Okay.
I want you to know that I was trying to be judicious because I thought, well, I don't want to order the very first one because I did actually
order the second one.
I got to tell you, I think I actually did order the very first MacBook Pro because I was sitting next to you and Alex in the keynote. I left to go teach an Aperture class with Derek Story at Macworld. So Derek was standing up doing the introduction. I immediately opened my laptop, got on Wi-Fi while he was talking, and ordered it. So it wouldn't have been 3 minutes after Jobs left that I had ordered my MacBook Pro.
You guys are crazy. You buy anything?
I waited.
You drank
I waited.
It's just like Merlin said. We want to buy things in the beginning of the product cycle.
Yeah, right.
Not in the end like you do.
You know, that cube is a really good thing to
hey, I love my cube. Yeah. I love my cube.
I might want one of these. I'll tell you why. I've been very disappointed with the video performance on the MacBook And here's the one thing that I really needed to do. I did a PowerPoint presentation on the last Geek Cruise that had some video in it. Now, I use a second screen because I watched the presenter notes on my main screen, and the PowerPoint screen is a second screen. And the video did not play back without stuttering. It stuttered very bad, so badly I couldn't really use the video. So I'm thinking I might need one of these.
MacBook Pro for Leo.
Well, I just think that that's the one place where I've seen the MacBook is just underpowered, that Intel GMA 950 video.
What are we looking at for one of these that's not the totally the totally Rain Man Scott Bourne
it's
version?
More like 20, like more like 2000 to 2500.
2500.
It starts at 19. Rain Man.
You know,
it's an excellent, excellent computer. Excellent computer.
It's definitely, definitely got to go get Aperture. Okay. Oh, boy.
Time for MacBook.
Okay, definitely got to make it to Aperture.
This is far worse than being labeled 2500. I want to point that out.
Thurston Howell.
Hey, Leo, I'm going to give you and everyone listening a tip right now.
What's that?
The thing to do is to go to the Apple Store,
yeah,
to the refurb button, and they've really dropped the prices on the non-Murrum chipped MacBook Pro. If you want to get into a MacBook Pro, but you don't want to spend the money for the new version, then that would be a way to do it.
Okay, Merlin's Rat Hole of the Week. Buying refurb off Apple, good idea?
Yes.
Well, absolutely.
I think in general...
I bought my third Airport Express. Yes, I have three Airport Expresses.
Why?
Because I'm an idiot. I bought... the third one I bought was refurb, and I have not had a problem in the world.
No, of course not.
It just seems scary.
I don't buy refurbs.
So. No, I'll tell you why refurb is good. From somebody like a Dell or an Apple, they can't sell anything that's been opened as new. So right away, they need to have an outlet for the stuff that somebody bought, opened, and sent back. And I think that's most of what you're getting. It's brand new.
And it has a warranty. Comes with a warranty.
It's brand new. And I think that's the key. If it's recent model, it's got the full warrant. I think it's okay.
See, my problem is I'm always afraid that someone used that computer the way I would.
Like maybe licked it and put it back in the box. Ooh, I hope Alex Lindsay gets this one.
So I'm just kind of like, I would never want to buy.
But it's true. This is something my mom always used to say: never put an Airport Express in your mouth because you never know where.
You don't know where it's been.
I think that's truer today than it's ever been.
Oh gosh.
Hey, look, I get her back quick. There's a link on here that says this is good. This is in their frequently asked questions. How do I send a compliment about the Apple Store?
I ask that question all
the time. Let me just click here. Use this form to send us a compliment.
You guys are so great.
And you notice that there's cobwebs on that form there, Lee?
Yeah, well, I have to say the page popped right up.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people.
There's nothing I hate more than a needy corporation.
Send me compliments, please.
Seriously, you guys, take this quiz. Take this online quiz.
There's three models. Now, this is another good question, because Apple always does this. They have the low end that nobody wants. Yeah. They have the mid-range, and then they have the high end that everybody wants. And you're saying that you recommend that Scott Bourne? What do you recommend?
Actually, the...
Not the low end?
Any of these are fine. The reason why, Leo, is because they've bumped up the minimum spec now to the point where even the low end...
2.16.
The low end computer is faster than the high end one that I bought right after the keynote.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And they haven't charged any more money. So you're getting a faster processor. You've got 2 gigs of RAM.
I started here with the low end, put an extra gig, because it starts with 1 gig on the low end.
On the very low end.
Yeah, the $19.99. Put another gig in. Put the slightly larger 160 gig hard drive because I probably don't want to use the external because it's portable. And it's $22.74, which I think is fairly reasonable. And, here's another question. You get to choose, at no extra cost, the glossy or the matte.
Okay.
I don't like the glossy.
I don't like the glossy.
The guy, you remember that, Leo, when we went up to brunch that day and the guy behind the counter had the glossy? Remember I was asking him about that?
I have the glossy on my MacBook.
It's all weird. It's all...
You don't like
it's
the
like
glossy.
A Dell. I don't like it.
Yeah. Looks like
it's
a Dell.
It's so reflective.
It's not a Dell,
Leo.
But you know what I mean, like a PC.
It's so reflective that you can't see if you have any lights around you, like on an airplane or something, if the person next to you is reading or whatever. It's very hard to see for me. I like to.
Is there a rule of thumb about who should pick glossy versus matte?
People say it's a richer image if you do the glossy. You're gonna get more contrast. Mm-hmm. That's the word around
what
town.
What if it depends on the lighting
conditions
you're working?
You don't agree.
I would never get a glossy coat. It looks, I think it looks nicer. Like it looks prettier.
It does look pretty.
I think workability, I would not want to have that. I got a question for you, Leo, though.
The default, by the way, just interestingly, the default on this is not the glossy. You have to actually choose glossy.
It's for those people who spend $150 extra for
a black MacBook.
Well, I have to say the glossy does hold the, does definitely hold the fingerprints.
Yeah.
Man, this thing gets expensive fast. That little $2,000, I got, the one I want would be $3,274.
See, I'm not
what
that
did you do to
off.
Upgrade it? What did you do to
upgrade
it?
Well, you know, I went for the 3 gigs of RAM.
See,
I
that's
never
a mistake.
Get...
You don't need 3.
You saying do that myself?
2.
Make my own RAM?
No, just put 2 in.
You think so?
Yeah. What do you need 3
for? All right,
for?
And then...
If you're running programs like Aperture, you need 3.
Well, I don't know if this keychain thing is going to get worse. You know,
do you need 3 for Aperture?
You know, if you really want a really good experience, if you're doing, running Pro Tools, Aperture, anything that taps into core audio.
If you're running them all at once. Or just, no, if you're not.
Even if
it's
you're
a
not,
lot more for 3 gigs. It's $575 bucks more for one
come
extra
Come on, Leo,
gig.
you lose that much change in your couch every week. Come
no,
on.
I don't.
Kick down. Kick down, buddy.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the deal. On the low end, to go from 1 to 2 gigs is $175. But for some reason, to go from 1 to 3 gigs is $750.
Because you got to buy 1 megabyte SIMs is what's going on. And you have to have 2 of each, remember, because we're looking at a dual processor machine.
You could afford the extra gig if you threw 1.3 people off Twit each week.
I'm looking here. This is a properly configured... starting with the low end at $2,000 and configuring it with a mere 2 gigs of RAM, which seems like quite a lot to me.
Doesn't that seem amazing? I mean, I think back to the fastest computer in terms of user experience for me was my SE30 in 1990.
Oh, I know.
SE30, remember that was with a 21-inch monochrome screen, had 8 megabytes of RAM, and it flew.
I'd like to say that when I was working on Star Wars, I had to write a 3-page proposal of why they should bump my RAM at ILM from 128 megs of RAM on my beige G3 to 192 megs of RAM. I had to write this long paper justifying how I would save this many minutes a day from rendering, and I'd be able to do these things, and it would be, you know. And
you had to make like a business case?
I had to make a business case of why. Everyone else had 128 megs of RAM.
And that was plenty.
You don't get rich and buy a bunch of plaid shirts by spending a lot of money on memory.
You're saying I should buy the app. Wait a minute, I gotta go back and buy the AppleCare. Oh crap!
You gotta buy the AppleCare.
Get the AppleCare.
Get the Leo. Leo, get the AppleCare.
Why would I get the AppleCare?
Because something will happen at some point in time, and then you'll call the 800 number and they'll say, "Do you have AppleCare?" And you'll say yes, and they'll say anything you want.
Can I just go? No, but I'm Leo Laporte.
That could work.
Yeah, that might work actually.
I'm Leo Laporte, and they will never find your body.
I did.
You know what happened to Hoffa? Just remember the Jersey Meadows.
You got a lovely family.
I'll tell you how well that might work for you, because while driving through San Francisco yesterday, I was stopped by one of San Francisco's finest, and he said, "Your name, sir?" And I said, "Leo Laporte." And he said, "Go right ahead."
Which is funny, because I said Scott Bourne, and actually, I'm just lucky to be here today. I got one of those pillows, though, so it's okay.
Oh, good.
Hey, now, Leo, I have
thank you.
I have a question for you to change the subject a little bit. Have you seen the? I know we've been talking about the EULA related to Vista.
Yes.
Have you seen the Vista? The stuff that relates to the Mac. The stuff that relates to virtualization.
Yeah. In fact, we talked about it on Windows Weekly.
Did we talk about
with
it,
Paul Thurrott? Okay. No, we didn't talk about it last time. We talked about it on the Windows show.
Because the thing is that that's kind of a big deal, isn't it? Theoretically, according to it, you couldn't run it in virtualization means not being able to use it.
In order to do that, you have to buy the Windows Ultimate Edition to do it legally. The issue is going to be, can they figure out that that's what you're doing and stop you?
Right.
And Paul was of the opinion that they can make that as the EULA, but they can't. It's not really an enforceable clause.
Yeah.
But for
a system administrator, they can enforce that on people.
Yeah. So in order to be completely legal from the Microsoft point of view, you would have to buy Windows Ultimate, Vista Ultimate Edition instead of the Home or the Basic or the Low End Edition. But you're right. I think we talked about it quite a bit on Windows Weekly. I think Microsoft made some real blunders in their new license agreement. They say, for instance, you can only transfer it once. You can only move it to another computer once. You can only sell it once. And you can't use virtualization on it. But the biggest problem is going to be the copy protection. I mean, here we are. We're sitting using an operating system that has no copy protection. I mean, Apple probably would love it if we bought a copy for every computer when Leopard comes out. But how many – don't most people just buy one copy of Leopard and put it on all their systems?
Yeah, well, and the thing is that it's – and Apple does pretty well on just that. You know, I mean, they
bought the hardware from them. I mean, the difference is – and I brought this up with Paul – is, you know, you still have to have an Apple.
Well, and I think that the rumor is that Leopard's also going to push the hardware pretty hard. So what you're going to you can have it, but you're going to want to upgrade to another computer in the not too distant future. I mean, you know, with all the stuff that Apple adds,
you'll really want to be Intel, right?
Yeah, you'll definitely want to be Intel. The operating systems are getting, you know, they have a lot more performance. They look cooler. They're prettier. They do a lot more things, but they keep on getting heavier and heavier and heavier.
That's another
apps just keep on, you know, pushing you.
I just want to point out that if you did get the Vista and you were summarily crippled like that, it would be a perfect complement to your Zune that won't play podcasts.
Yes, that's true. No, I think there's going to be a backlash against Microsoft. I think they've really
Would be substantial, though? I mean, how substantial? Let me put it a different way. How substantial a backlash?
Well, not much.
From whom?
Yeah,
I don't think. Here's the deal: I do think they're going to close. They're going to close some loopholes. I think they may lose up to 5 or 10% of their users over 3 or 4 years.
That's essentially what Paul and I agreed is. This only hurts the 5% of enthusiasts. The rest of the world just goes, okay, whatever.
Well, but the other thing is that I think that they'll make
a lot for
money.
Apple.
I think it's a lot for Apple.
It doubles Apple's market share.
This is a big game for Apple.
Yeah.
This is a big game for Apple. They could double their market share if they get aggressive about this.
And I think
they could double their market share. And I think Microsoft will make more money by tightening the software protection. So I think that they'll increase their revenue by more than the 5% that they're losing.
Do you think any of this has to do in part with the growth in places like China and the need to lock that kind of stuff down harder?
I think it's Bill Gates' personality. He's always hated piracy, and it's just finally, you know, it's getting to him. And
they're big enough where they can do something new.
Apple's announced that Leopard will not come out till after Vista. In fact, not probably till the end of the first quarter.
Really?
Now, is that Leopard will not come out until after Vista, as in a firm thing? We're just going to wait for Vista
because
Leopard could be a long time from here.
No, I don't think that was their intent when they said that. I think what they meant to say was we're coming out in the fourth towards the end of the first quarter. You know, I think that was the time frame. They said sometime first quarter. Now they're saying late first quarter, and somebody observed, probably me, that means they'll come out after Vista, which is smart because you want to see what Microsoft's stolen so that you can change it to be better, right?
Right.
And do you think it also limits the amount of exposure of like, hey, here's our new whizzy thing we slipped in at the last minute?
I think so. Don't show them what you got, because as many people...
Because it would delay... I think Apple's doing a service for everyone, because otherwise if they released it in January, it means the Vista would have to be delayed another 6 months as they tried to figure out how to incorporate those things too.
That's so mean. Why would you do that to all those poor Windows users?
I know. You got to let them have their operating system. So
While they're still young.
While they're still young.
You missed it, Alex, but we did do the iPhone in great detail and Scott got all excited. Now we're going to see similar... And it's from the... I think it's from the same... Is it? No, maybe it's a different source, but... Similar, well-informed sources say the full-screen iPod will also be out. The sixth generation, but this is the interesting one. Next month, or like in December. I don't believe that. I don't buy that one picking bit.
I will tell you that some of the same sources that predicted the exact drop date on the MacBook Pro being today did make that prediction.
Same prediction?
That we would see a December full screen video iPod. Now,
wouldn't that just cut into their sales like nobody's business?
Well, they're trying to maybe sneak in a couple days before Christmas, and they're looking at, you know, if you get in, you open this thing up like for December 5th, you still have 10, 15 shopping days. You could sell a couple of hundred thousand of those puppies.
Wow.
I'm going to use a phrase I never use, which is supply chain. I don't really know what supply chain is, but it seems to me that this would really screw up.
I think so.
Isn't that kind of crazy? They got all this. You're going to try and push out all
these units. It's not just the supply chain. It's the channel.
Really? Oh, really? So, the whole channel, huh? What about, Leo, will this scale across the enterprise?
No, I think not. And I think at the end of the day, the real issue is going to...
Net. No, really. Seriously, net.
I'm not kidding.
Is going to happen.
Yep.
Look, I don't want to boil the ocean here.
No, we're not going to boil the ocean. Scott, okay. I promise.
I really don't want to boil the ocean.
I do think actually the channel is who you're actually potentially screwing. Those are the people who have the existing iPods who are now completely useless. You can't sell them because everybody wants to buy these full screen iPods.
And at what point do you start getting into, I don't know if you guys remember in the, welcome again to Merlin's Rat Hole. I don't know if you guys remember in the mid-90s at that point when it seems like they were coming up with...
Your hole is no rattier than mine. I just want to point that out.
But do you remember when Apple was coming up? It seemed like they were coming up with some new line of business every week or two.
Yeah.
And they had all these different lines, and they had the consumer line, and they had the business line. And there's, oh, and this one's great for students. And they were constantly, you know, and it got confusing.
It got to the point where I could not figure out what Mac to buy. I knew everything about it, and I still couldn't figure out which one I wanted to buy.
That's an example where Jobs really did clean things up quite a bit.
Right. Well, but now we got the Oprah iPod. You got these little nanos that used to be minis. You got the big ass.
There's product
videos.
Creep. It's product creep, and I think it really does happen, and it's hard to fight.
And so if you've got all
Apple's
that stuff,
never been loath to screw their channel.
Of course, but it's inexpensive. I know it's expensive for some people, but it's inexpensive enough that I realized the other day I looked at my desk and I had almost a version of almost every iPod like floating around
so
on my desk somewhere.
That's true.
I just buy it, I just go, oh, that one will be cool for this, and I'm waiting for. And here's the worst part: I'm waiting for the new little Nano so that I can get it for my workout.
I think this
put
is
it in my workout locker.
If they do it, it's a bad thing to do, but it's an anti-Zune measure. And I think if they do it, it's Steve Jobs really saying, I'm going to screw Bill Gates, and being very aggressive about it, even though it's bad for the channel, it's bad for consumers, it's bad for iPod sales, it's bad for Apple in the long run.
But you want to know what it? You know what it's good for, though?
What?
Those of us waiting for our iPhone.
Did you
see the story from our friend the Macalope about the possible little twist to the? I'll tell you. I think if you're gonna talk rumors, it should come based on drunk talk. And the Macalope overheard some very interesting drunk talk.
So tell
us,
this,
Leo.
Do you have to slur when you're gonna tell us this story, or can you?
Seriously, you guys.
All right, I'm telling you.
Seriously,
I gotta tell you.
I just feel really good that you guys are here right now. I just want to say seriously. Now, the Macalope.
Quarter to three.
The Macalope hears that it's possible that some of this.
How can you trust a blog called the Macalope?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, where in the world did you come up with this, Merlin? This is the authoritative source. A guy called the Macalope.
Well, what did the Macalope say?
Merlin's giving me the stare of death right now, Leo.
He's trying to figure out where the hair ends.
You guys don't follow the Macalope?
No,
I don't follow the Macalope.
Hate to say, okay. I've never even heard of the Macalope before today.
What is the Macalope, first of all,
you got to trust the Macalope because the Macalope speaks in third person, and you have to trust anybody
that does person.
He says, "Get this." The Minotaur, he's got nicknames for his friends, I guess, takes the Macalope to a couple events and then stops showing up. Claims he was going to go, but got lost in the maze, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the Macalope was mingling and started talking to some fauns.
These particular fauns insisted that they knew some leprechauns who knew a priest who knew someone at Apple. And they were saying that they heard through this channel that the iPhone is not a phone in the physical sense.
What is
it? Technology.
A technology?
That's right, Leo. It's a technology, like VoIP. And then what Apple's going to do, I'm quoting here from the Macalope, is to put all this onto Mac so that each Mac ships as a computer and, bum, 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 a phone.
So there you go. It's Skype.
So you got the Macalope, you got some drinking, you got fawns, leprechauns, and the possibility that your computer could be used, held up to your ear as a phone. And
in my 5 decades on this planet, I have never heard a more miserably concocted story in my life. My phone is coming, Merlin. And don't you try to say it isn't.
This is not credible.
You should do that thing like Genie does, where you fold your arms and ding, 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 maybe it'll happen. You guys mock the Macalope, but we do gladly mock the Macalope.
I'll
tell you what, Big Shot. You're the one making all these bets with people, right?
$10,000. You name the charity. Macalope's right. I'll write the check to $10,000.
Okay. A, I don't have $10,000. B, the charity is me. C, cash on the barrel head. Watch what the Macalope says. The Macalope is, I would have to say that right now out there, along with Daring Fireball, the Macalope is my favorite Macalope.
I like how it's written. I like the third person. You can't go wrong there because basically lets you off the hook.
I really think you need a dramatic reading of it, though. I think a Macalope podcast would be very...
We're attributing things to a man whose friend, his name is Minotaur, folks.
And he talks to fauns. So
you know,
the question is, Merlin...
The failures of your imagination are depressing to me, Scott.
The question is, Merlin, did this make it to the Apple rumor tracker.com?
Well, you only know it's really true if all the sub Mac rumor sites are reporting it. The ones who steal from the higher echelon made up stuff sites.
This is actually
Macalope,
great.
Actually, Macalope by and large. Actually, I'll end my plug just by saying it actually is a very fun kind of, if you enjoy the kind of just aggressive Mac advocacy and
complete
criticism
and foorah. Well,
but it's a fun site.
I'm going to start reading it.
Oh, my God.
I learned about it from Daring Fireball. Listen, I'm telling you, Scott, we can get you this web in a way that we can bring into your home. You can watch it on your big TV. You're never going to have to move away from your Victrola. It's going to be very comfortable.
Thank
we'll get you that nice warm tea you like to have.
You know, here I was involved in this podcast with all these expert Macintosh people, and we've been reduced to quoting Minotaurs.
All right, let's talk about Apple's fourth quarter results.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, I'm sure the analysts on Wall Street want to hear what the Minotaur has to say about those.
No, this is factual. Apple posted revenue of $4.84 billion, a net quarterly profit of $546 million. That's 62% per diluted share. Now, don't get confused. These are diluted shares.
I don't know what that means either.
Yeah, I'll tell you what
that means.
Wait, Alex,
what's a diluted
share? No, we asked Scott that question.
Hey, Scott, what's a diluted share?
A diluted share means, like, let's say you invest in the company and you're a principal investor and you have 1,000 shares, and at that time, maybe that's half the company because there's only 2,000 shares. But then after that, they sell like 200 million shares. Your 1,000 shares aren't quite worth what they were when it was half the company. Those are diluted shares.
I'm sorry I asked that, aren't you? In any event, Wall Street was predicting like 40 cents a share. They made 62. That usually is a good sign for the Apple stock.
Is that diluted cents?
Diluted.
That's undiluted.
It's like diluted is what it's like.
The depressing thing is here that they've risen about $6 since I sold them, thinking they were going to get smacked for the options thing, and they didn't.
Yeah.
And
look, you know, Alex was saying buy Apple, and I think he was right. A huge jump. I mean, we're talking a big jump over the same time last year. 1.61 million Mac computers. This is in 3 months. 8.7 million iPods. Now, that's actually a drop of iPods from last quarter, but in both cases, 30% and 35% growth over a year ago quarter. So Apple is really on a roll. In fact, one analyst said after this, buy Apple because this is just the beginning. Wait till you hear what they tell you in January.
That's right. I'm looking at that right now. The UBS Investment Research has, and you're also hearing a lot of, I think in the CIA they call it chatter about all this interesting 2007 stuff. Have you guys heard speculation about all
well,
this? Well,
we know ITV,
like sabers come to people or something,
and the iPhone.
ITV and iPhone are the two things driving the analyst expectations.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they're looking at. Yeah,
I actually listen to these conference calls sometimes.
Do you really?
Yeah, and I got to tell you, that's the two things that's got them excited, the iPhone and the ITV.
I think I actually have a recording of the last one. Let me see if I can play this.
Do you still have that on?
No, sometimes
Steve gets on and he's not prepared.
They can degenerate, I think.
That's his history, by the way. His history. Just never prepared.
Actually, I did listen to that call and I thought it was pretty good, except for the point where he wanted to stop for 45 minutes and listen to a Jefferson Airplane record.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Don't knock
what he was listening to.
Until you've listened to it on strong hallucinogens. Everybody loves a group rumor. How accurate is Think Secret? Apple Matters says what?
Half
accurate?
8 for 19. Now, if that were batting, that would be good.
That'd be good in baseball. You get a good signing bonus for batting that average.
Surprisingly better than I thought, to be honest with you.
All right.
Yeah, but the Minotaur is 3 for 19.
I wonder how the Macalope is
somehow not as good.
But he still can't get out of the maze. Among the Apple-rati, if I can use that term, Think Secret is kind of regarded as one of the oracles that one can trust for these things.
Well, they got sued. So if they get
is
if you get sued,
kid,
that really
like,
brings
like
your stock way up.
It gets all the rumors first.
All I know is that once no one really knew about which one was the best one. I mean, was it Apple Insider?
It could be the Minotaur.
Mac OS rumors? Is it Think Secret? And then Think Secret got sued, which means that they must have been close to a nerve. So, and I think what happened was, I think they were reporting the, I believe it was the Shuffle early on or right before. I think
this is one of the articles that I posted to our list this week, which is it's from October 6th article on AppleMatters.com called "How Accurate Is Think Secret?" And it tracks just straight back to actually last week's rat hole by Merlin, which was, how do you actually reasonably predict or try to watch for trackers of what's really happening in these industries? And they did something I guess I've always hoped people would do, which is they went back and looked at all these predictions.
I think it's very valuable, yeah.
How often did they get it right? How often did they get it wrong? And how often did they miss something that actually did come out instead?
It's less than half right. And when you really look at what they got wrong, a lot of the misses are big misses. I think the number doesn't do it justice. I mean, a lot of them are so wildly wrong that you just have to wonder.
Well, what's really weird is that when some of these sites, and I don't remember if it was Think Secret, I think it might have been one of these sites, was the site that gave rise to the rumor, which Leo bought right into, was that Aperture was dead, and started this whole thing that Aperture was dead and all the team was fired and dismembered and blah, blah, blah. And when they were called on it by the guy that was actually being hired to run the new Aperture team, they refused to retract it. I mean, he said, no, you're wrong. I'm running the Aperture team. Like, well, no, we're not retracting.
Wow, that's a little much.
It's just crazy. So I think you just have to take what they say.
Sounds like Tony Snow.
Yeah, Tony Snow used to work at Aperture. Oh, no, I mean, Apple Tricks or whatever.
Well, I just thought it was interesting because, you know, I don't really follow this stuff very carefully, as my weekly ignorance on this stuff shows. But I do think it's interesting. In the same way that you get all the pundits on TV making all these prognostications, I think it is kind of fun to go back and look at, you know, where they're getting it right and where they're getting it wrong. Do you guys have one of these sites that you feel like right now you kind of trust?
I don't follow.
We sit here and we have fun. And we look at stuff to delicious.
Do you look? I don't like to. I wouldn't look at them if I weren't doing this, to be honest.
I have an I use Safari's RSS compiler. You know where
NewsWire, baby. Net NewsWire.
And I just have I have 20 Mac sites that are all in the, you know, that are just all listed in order of time that they were posted within Safari, which is the only thing I wish that they would add to Firefox. But the only reason I use Safari is specifically for that one feature of being able to stack them all, mixing them by date.
I only follow one blog, 43 folders. If it's not on 43 folders, then I don't need to know.
I heard the guy that does that site, he's very into the pot. he's not really clicking on all cylinders.
Okay.
That's what I heard.
Well, he does have a 12-cylinder motor, and only six of them puppies are firing.
All I know is the only time I ever visited his home, there was incense burning the whole time. I don't want to say anything.
Did he have a virtual chia pet going on his computer when you were there, Leo?
No comment.
He wanted to see if there was electronic hair on the chia pet.
No comment.
I think it'd be interesting to see it. Has anybody ever seen like something like a stock exchange for this stuff, where somebody goes through and actually kind of tracks this stuff over time?
You know, it's so often bad that I think it's kind of apparent.
But people love it, dude. Go watch.
They love it.
One of the ways that I steal ideas for stories on this program on which we're speaking right now is to just go look at Dig and find out what people are talking about. And invariably, I mean, you know, a huge amount of the stuff that's popular on Apple, tagged with Apple on Dig, is just this. A lot of it's pretty, you know, links to speculative stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, but it's a little bit like the lottery, right? Where you're going to buy these tickets because it's really fun to buy tickets. You don't think about how often you lost. You think about how excited you are to get the new one. And I think that's kind of what keeps people
exactly
wired into this stuff.
I think you're exactly right. It's like gambling. It's like anything else. It's addictive. But I don't know. I think I'm getting burned out by these. You know, you do three or four rumors completely wrong. You miss really badly. I think it makes it hard to go back and believe. You want to believe, but I think it makes it hard to go back and believe.
That's why the only site you should go to is Crazy Apple Rumors.
Really? Is there such a site?
Oh, you're kidding me, right?
No.
So you don't know about the Macalope and you don't know about Crazy Apple Rumors?
No.
Well, you need to spend some time at crazyapplerumors.com, where you can go and find all of the most outlandish, made-up, ridiculous...
They're made up, though.
Oh, absolutely, but they're awesome.
They make
that's different from the other ones. How?
It's true. But I know that's a very enjoyable site that I would recommend you check out.
I'm checking it out right now. I'm sorry.
That's what we call in the radio business dead air, folks.
Yeah, that's not radio.
I really wish I hadn't drank all that coffee. Look at me. I'm a Japanese cartoon character.
All right, let's do our picks and get the hell out of this this downer, man. Disco is out. Do you care about disco? I have to say,
what does it do?
It doesn't matter what it does. It has the best viral marketing ever. Ever.
Disco, but no one knows what it does.
It's a disc burning utility. Basically, that's all.
It's a disco?
It has one really cool feature. Let me find the website for you.
And it's discoapp.com.
Disco app. Okay. I mean,
these are the same guys that make AppZapper. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's a terrific.
And I think that's one of the reasons there's interest, because, of course, they've done other good software. But they've just, I think, marketed it really well. So the beta came out yesterday. The way they did it kind of a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory golden ticket kind of a thing. People who pre-ordered got a ticket, right? And then you can go and you enter your ticket and you can download the program. It'll only be $15 introductory price. It's just a better burner. It's a drag and drop burner. It does a few things that I think are great. One is it keeps track of what you've burned. So you have a discography of previous burns, like where your discs are. You can search it. It does, but the thing everybody's most excited about is it smokes while it burns.
Oh,
just as you do, Merlin, actually. Or you, I'm sorry, you burn when you smoke. But this is I don't know what it does. In fact, I should put a disc in here and try, because you can enable smoke, but you can also enable microphone input. I don't know what that does. And then the styles are smoke, fire, goo, icy mist, purple haze, red sea, and steam.
Okay. Wow. Alrighty then.
Wait a minute, I gotta get a blank disc. You talk amongst yourselves.
Well, have you guys tried Burn? The app called Burn, which is
I've tried the.
I think it's a free as in speech, free as in beer app that I've been using.
To burn discs?
It's a substitute for toast. It's a very easy burner, super simple interface.
I do the whole.
Do you really need it?
Click and say burn to disk.
Yeah, doesn't Apple just basically have all this
it's
stuff
just in the operating
in?
System?
Yeah.
Why would I guess I don't get the whole thing where I don't need anything else. I hold down my control key, and if I have a disk in there, I say burn to disk, and then it burns a disk, and I just think this
is very Mac-ish.
That's pretty much all I need.
It has a drag and drop interface, so you basically drag from the Finder.
I don't get it.
You don't get it?
You can't see Alex back here mocking me.
I just don't understand why I would have another application for something.
Well,
I can
I understand that, and I like the slogan: "We're having toast for breakfast."
Well, the thing about toast is it's faster than any of these applications.
Is it really?
Including yes.
I think so.
I have to admit, I burn a disc like once a month or two.
And secondly, toast is a wonderful application if you need to convert file formats, because it does that very well.
It just seems dog slow to me. The only conversion I ever do is AVI to make it be a DVD, and it's
I burn
really
discs
slow.
Because I make copies of photographs on a regular basis as sending off to clients.
All right, I'm going to press the burn button now. I want to see the smoke. By the way, you can't get burn right now because it's in a beta.
It's not special.
But
it's
in beta, and if you didn't sign up ahead of time, you couldn't
disco,
get it.
Disco, not burn.
Disco. Burn is your program, right, Merlin?
You are so high.
Okay, Merlin, what's your pick? Pressure's on.
What is my pick? I've got a pick. Have we done Tangerine? Have we done Tangerine?
We haven't done Tangerine.
It just came out.
I just started playing with this, and with any luck, I'm going to get some of those fancy Nike shoes so I can. I don't know if many of you know, but I'm morbidly obese. I'm just a little bit over 5 feet tall, and I weigh 890 pounds. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a man who likes to eat, and
you
so
don't look a shred over 750.
I'm gonna, my supporting man girdle I have to wear actually makes me look a lot slimmer. But the I'm gonna get a pair of those Nike shoes with the iPod.
I have that iPod.
What's the story behind Tangerine?
Apple just sent me that the Nike thing with the iPod, but I don't run.
What is the
Tangerine? I'm going somewhere with this.
I'm giving it to Amber. She's gonna review it. So how does Tangerine tie into that?
Well, the reason I say Tangerine lets you basically it grabs your iTunes songs and it kind of scans them all for beats per minute and lets you create playlists, custom playlists based on how fast you want to be doing things or what kind of BPMs you want to listen to. And what's nice about it is basically you get the idea that it scans your list, but then it's got a nice little GUI for dragging and dropping. And the intensity of the beats and length of the song are expressed in two dimensions. So you can build these little, like let's say I want a 180 BPM playlist.
That's a lot of beats.
That's a lot of beats. Talking like Underworld, like angry
that's really,
crunch mode music. But it's kind of cool. I haven't played with it much yet. And it does have one small feature, which is that it sometimes accidentally doubles or halves the beats. So this can be a little confusing. So things that are like 60 BPM can be 120 or more. But
so it sounds, it sounds like this.
And then here,
here we go.
Oh, man. We just sounded awful on this show. I can't believe anybody listened to that thing.
I like to say that I'd like to quit. I want to take 2 weeks off. I want to think about it. And
I'm doing that. I'm getting on a boat and sailing far, far away.
When I
from
come
here.
Back, let's just see how it goes, okay?
Tangerine, she's all they claim, with her eyes of night and lips as bright as flame. Tangerine, okay. When she dances by, senoritas stare and caballeros.
You know, I think it's only appropriate that we follow the best show we ever did with the worst show. We ever did.
I think so. So anyway, okay, so disco, tangerine.
Alex, you want to?
I have one.
Yes, sir.
But I haven't even used it yet. But I'm so excited about
it's
it.
Got to be good.
It is so. I know not many people use it. It's kind of like the same thing with disco. So not, a lot of people haven't used it because you can't get it. This one's still in beta, but I am like super excited. We're going to talk a little bit more about it in This Week in Media. But it's called Scope Box, and it's www.scopebox.com. This is for people doing video work. This is a huge app. One of the what this does is this gives you professional scopes, you know, big, you know, like the scopes that we would see on if you go to a TV network and you see all these little hardware scopes that you spend thousands and thousands of dollars on.
Hey, Alex.
Yeah.
What's a scope?
Scope. A scope is...
I'm sorry, for those of us who like live in a shoebox in the Sunset District, what is a scope?
I understand. A scope is a measurement device for your video. So what it does is it gives you levels, it gives you all the feedback.
On screen during...
So what happens is...
So it shows your gamut or something?
Yeah, it shows you your gamut. It shows you how whether things are too hot or too little. Uh-huh. All the stuff... And the thing is that the only scopes that we've really had up until now, there's one called DV Rack for the PC, but the only scopes we've really had are the ones that are built into Final Cut Pro right now, and they're okay, you know, they're like fine, and you can't get live RGB parade, and I know that 90% of people don't have any idea what I'm talking about, but you can't get this RGB parade, which is really, really important to me when you're doing green screen. So anyway, it's a big deal that and we were literally talking about internally, like, we're going to write our own app that does this, and then Kenji actually you know, said that, you know, he sent this out, and it's going to be hot. That's all I got to say. So you definitely want to sign up. They have a mailing list. You want to sign up to get on that beta because I'm really, really excited about it. If you're into video. If you're not into video, if you're like Merlin, then don't bother.
Are you saying I'm not into video?
You're not. No.
I could be into video.
You just asked me what
a scope
was. So, yeah, it's a nice site too.
Okay, I have one.
Yes, sir. Scott Bourne.
SimplyHeadlines.com.
SimplyHeadlines.com. .com.
I received an email from a person who reads my blog that said they really didn't like RSS. They preferred email, and could I arrange to have my daily posts emailed to them? Ooh. And I said, well, rather than trying to talk them into using RSS, I'll provide good customer service and try to solve their problem. In other words, I didn't take the Apple approach.
You're a solution provider.
Yeah, I am a solution provider. So I did some research, and
for you. That's cool.
It does it for you. So all you do is you send your RSS feed to Simply Headlines. They turn it into an email stream, which in turn is available for your readers. If they click on the Simply Headlines button, they can pick you up via email rather than via RSS.
I think that's actually kind of neat. I think that's a great idea.
That's nifty.
And I've put it on all my blogs, and people are clicking on it like crazy because some people just prefer to do the email thing.
Well,
so
it's
every
mostly
time
the older people
post.
Who frequent your blogs.
Yeah, the older people. Yeah, anyone older than 25.
They don't like RSS.
Anyway, the cool thing about it is it looks like a little newspaper. It takes all the RSS
it's
feeds
adorable.
And automatically drops them into a little newspaper-style format, so you're getting your daily paper.
That's really
so
cool.
So that is my pick of the week.
That's very cool.
Really and by the way, it's totally free.
Is it?
Totally.
In each and every way.
Stop right there, Scott. There's no way this could be free.
This is free.
And now it is only half off.
Well, seriously.
But if you act now,
do they put
it's
ads
free
in
forever.
It? How do they monetize? Do they put ads in it?
It's an advertising-supported model.
He said monetize.
He did say monetize. It says it, and
I can,
you know,
see up your kimono.
I do want to say that I thought it was pretty interesting is that instead of saying that they were in beta, the title says the SimplyHeadlines.com experiment.
Experiment's a good name.
So maybe it was a
that's basically
take off
what this
on,
show is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a takeoff on the Jimi Hendrix experiment. Oh, that was supposed to be experience. Sorry. Anyway, it's a cool site. Check it out. Simplyheadlines.com, spelled just like it sounds.
So should I do this with, I don't know if I have anything that I would be, would it work with podcasts?
Now, see, I don't think it would work with podcasts, but I think that it would probably work with anything else.
Hmm.
Anything else like a blog post that has an RSS. For instance, if you ran a little teeny weeny, almost do nothing, know nothing blog that no one ever heard of, like 43 folders.
Mm-hmm.
If you ran something like that.
What he said.
Oh. No, what I was going to do, it's funny you said that, Scott, because I was going to do something similar where I would just have a site that would just write to static files that would say, write stuff down. It would just go up every day. And just wait for the money to pour in.
No, see, like Merlin, if he did this, he would not only be.
I'd have e-simply headlines, and I'd overcomplicate it.
Yeah, it would be way more involved. It's cool. I started using it sort of as my feed reader just because it was convenient the way it presents the information.
Leo, I'm kind of high tonight, but you already did yours. Disco was yours.
Disco
is that right?
Sucks.
Okay. Disco.
Wait a minute.
No, Disco's right now burning all my porn to a DVD, and it seems to be working quite well. While we're talking, oh, it's starting to smoke. Oh, my God, it's smoking. Oh, that's very cool. So,
get a screenshot.
Yeah, okay.
Get a screenshot.
Okay, how can
smoky.
I get a... Okay, I got to get a screenshot. How can I do... Okay, wait, okay, don't anybody move. Okay, wait.
This is the guy that runs Call for Help, and he's trying to figure out how to do a screenshot.
Okay. Well, no, I want to put it over Alex's picture. Okay. And then I don't know, you know, I don't know if Snapseed Pro will capture this or not. So let's see. Oh, yeah, it did. It froze it. Oh, you're going to love this, Alex. I'll send it to you right now. This is good. This is good because Alex's mouth is open. And it kind of looks like he's surprised maybe that it's actually
I'm so
smoking.
Glad the camera's on your computer.
Are we going to wrap this one up soon so we can do the real podcast for tonight?
Yeah, exactly.
I give up. I'm such a dork.
You're ready for the cruise, aren't you, Leo?
I am. You know, really, that's the whole problem is I didn't get my pizzazz.
Yeah.
And I'm just paying for it right now. Okay, so I'm going to send this to you, Alex, and you can see there's maybe a little bit better example of the smoke.
Uh-oh. Leo, we would wonder if you know that this could contain a virus.
It says it could contain a virus?
No, I... We'll edit this up.
Now, there's like 25 word
more smoke
message
now.
On.
See the smoke? And the thing is, it's swirling and burning as it's going.
That's great.
It's amazing. It really is. I think it's worth the 15
bucks. A lot of times, Leo, people say, why should I buy a Mac? It just seems like they're more
because you
costly.
Can buy apps that smoke.
See, I think this is what a lot of Windows users are missing out on, is that... Sometimes smoke comes out of the applications, and
I think this is really cool. I'm sorry.
It absolutely is. You know,
I'm sure that I'd burn like one or two disks that way, and then I'd go, okay, now I'm going to control click my folder and say burn a disk.
I'm not right, actually.
Is it time for me to tell you what I think about Windows yet?
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I'm sorry it's only about 20 minutes long, but you know, we just didn't have that much to say.
Yeah, so, slow week.
Slow week. Come back next week, and I promise not to edit out all the good stuff because I won't be here. Ladies and gentlemen, bye Mac.
Windows sucks.
So long, suckers.
That didn't work very well.
Okay, one more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, bye Max.
Windows sucks.
So long, suckers.
I don't think that's a very good close.
Yeah, screw it.
Okay. Bye bye.
All right, I'm pressing. Now, I can send you a file, right?
Yeah, you can send me a file in email.
If you're going to do that,
you
I would
just
use
attach
email.
The file. There's this thing called attach, and you just attach the image.
You can use the Google.
Right
you know what? You guys should
Google. Does the Google do that?
You can use the Google.
The Google does
this. Think of it this way. Let's say you're going to go and have a nice lunch at the cafeteria.
Okay.
It's kind of like how you put the Jell-O onto your tray and then push it down. It's a lot like that, except using the internet. You got your Sanka. You got your Kaya Sanka.